If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. This is the 100th episode of Phoning It In, so we're marking it with an extended episode with lots of very special guests, as well as the regular calls from the human flotsam who like to whine and bitch at me because their pathetic lives didn't turn out the way they'd hoped. Darren is on the line. Darren, you're stuck in Dublin Airport, is that right?
Yep, that's it.
What's going on there?
Oh, God, Dave. It's bad here, right? I've been camped out here for days.
Days?
Days.
Why haven't you been able to get on your flight? Or
just the queues, man.
Oh, yeah, the queues are crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. I set up a tent. I have a little stove.
Okay.
I have like a little like campfire set up here,
yeah,
like just outside, and I'm like waiting, and this bloody thing's not moving at all, Dave.
Now, when is your flight? Have you not missed your flight?
That's a great question, Dave.
Or did you arrive up days in advance?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I arrived up days in advance, and I said, look, I'm just going to set up camp. We're going to toast some marshmallows. We're going to have the kids round for a sing-song.
Oh, the kids round, yeah.
The kids round for a sing-song. It's kind of a little holiday before the holiday,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah,
to be honest,
yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Are you talking about your own kids now?
Or no,
you,
just the kids.
You've invited...
The kids are getting on other flights.
Which kids? I don't know.
The kids are getting on other flights.
Oh, just
they let
other
kids. On flights
yes,
there, right?
Yes, of course. So you're just inviting
ivory tower.
Whatever kids that are at the airport, you're inviting them over for a big group sing-song.
Yeah, come around. We roast marshmallows. We tell spooky stories about planes.
Lovely. Where are you off to on your holidays, Darren?
Shannon.
Shannon, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to Shannon Airport.
You're just going to Shannon Airport. And would you not have gotten, you could have gotten the bus down.
What do you mean?
Or a train or something?
Ah, no, I love the whole experience.
The flying.
Yeah, you get in there, they're telling you might, what's going to happen if we're all going to die?
Yeah.
Tell us to put the mask on, don't put the mask on the kids before you put it on yours. I love all that.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the holiday.
Yeah, and so is the holiday for you, is it more the flight? Are you just flying down and coming straight back? Or?
Well, yeah, it's more pretty much. I just like get back into the queue then to get back onto the plane.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm there, I get there. Go to the vending machines, get something nice for myself, get back in the queue, and then I'm waiting then.
And you're back.
On the next plane.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the queues at Shannon won't be as bad as Dublin.
Well, actually, I'm kind of hoping it is.
This
whole experience has really changed my whole opinion on the airport, Dave, to be honest.
So you're having great time. You're having a great time.
Oh, God's class. Like,
okay, well, not everyone.
Fishing and everything.
Not everyone at the airport is having a great time. Teresa's there. You missed your flight altogether, is that right?
That's right, Dave, yeah.
When were you supposed to fly out?
Tuesday, fortnight ago.
Okay, so what are you still doing there now?
I've been standing here making friends with people in the queue.
Okay, so a bit
I
like...
I've actually already spoken to Dan.
Okay.
Yeah, he was doing a little spooky read-along.
Oh, yeah.
Spooky read-along, reading The Shining.
Snakes on the Plane.
Oh, Snakes on the Plane.
The plane
the novelization of the film.
Novelization of Snakes on the Plane, yeah.
It's very dramatic. I do have a laugh with him.
Stop. Okay, great. So, where were you due to fly to?
Kusadasi.
Kusadasi.
Yeah, Turkey.
I've never heard of it. Cool. And so, like, are you upset with the airport for having missed your flight, or?
I'm terribly upset with the airport,
right,
Dave,
okay.
Actually, because the reason I was flying over to Kusadasi in the first place was I needed to get my teeth done.
Okay, yeah.
Now, if you could see me.
Right.
It's a car crash.
Is this Darren, can you confirm that?
Train wreck. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. But like, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Look.
So I imagine you'll want the airport to compensate you then, not just for your flight, but for the teeth as well.
Oh, they're going to compensate me.
Yeah.
Every last red cent.
Right, okay. Well, have you spoken to anyone about this?
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Are you on Facebook?
I am, yeah.
Facebook Live.
Okay.
24 hours a day, 8 days a week.
Okay.
Me and him.
Yeah.
They are going to give me every penny.
Okay.
My mouth is in bits.
From the teeth,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Why are you still there, though? Are you hoping that they'll get you on a flight?
I'm hoping. 2 weeks now.
Yeah, you're waiting. Okay.
Now, it's not been a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Made new friends like Darren here.
Yeah.
There's other people, loads of nice kids around. I never had kids myself. because I was saving up to get my teeth done.
Okay.
So it hasn't been like a complete waste, but like, if I don't get the money, I'm going to cause a disturbance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm hoping maybe I could get a flight. Darren's after invite me down to Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've never been to Donegal. I might go.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Nice.
I haven't
yeah.
really travelled very extensively
yeah,
within
yeah.
Ireland. And he said he'll show me the ropes. And
right.
That.
But you want to get the teeth done first.
Ideally. I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I have Claire on the line. Claire Dacuse is the acting head of the DAA. What's going on out there in the airport, Claire?
It's all right, Dave. It's like I think everyone's making a big deal over it.
These people have been waiting for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm acting, you know, so I don't necessarily, you know, I mean, I learned the lines, and
you're not acting in that sense, Claire. You're not a performer, are you?
I usually do kids' parties,
right?
So,
did you end up as the head of the DAA?
They said they were short-staffed.
Right.
And I was doing a party, a kids' party,
yeah.
of 5-year-olds. It wasn't great now, but the kids enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And there was a woman there who worked at the airport, and she said that they were very, very short-staffed, and would I be interested in just trying to move the queues along a bit. So, you know,
yeah.
and I said, what do I have to do? And she says, €15 an hour, and you just have to, you know, show people where to go.
Yeah.
And I said, I can do that.
That's
I can do
easy
that.
Enough, yeah.
And then I got in, and they said, oh, you're an actor, are you? I went, yeah. And then they gave me this script.
Right.
And I said, well, what's the role? And she said it was
acting head of the DAA.
The head of the DAA.
Right.
Acting a maggot, Dave, that's all she's doing. She was going up and down the queues offering face paint to people. She turned me into a pirate now. In fairness, she covered the teeth to look grand.
I just thought it'd keep people calm, you know.
Yeah.
The kids love it. The kids love getting their face painted.
Yeah, but what are you going to do about all the people like... Teresa's trying to get over to where was it again, Teresa?
Cusadassi
to get her teeth done. What are you going to do about those?
I'm actually very good at painting teeth. I'm very good at painting teeth. I've got white.
That's not a long term solution.
The wind
though.
Is whistling through my gums here.
Yeah, there's only so much you could do.
Yeah, or maybe I could do some paper mache. Paper mache the teeth and then stick them in with a bit of chewing gum or something like that, and then paint them.
You're impressed with this?
Yeah, I might root out my own teeth.
But
if that's the option.
Hang on, Darren. You've been sitting there in the airport for how long now?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah,
same
yeah.
as Teresa. And
yeah, I love it though. I mean, look, we're setting up. We've a sing along going to happen now
right.
at the end of the night when the sun goes down. We're going to start hunting. We're going to start hunting for our food. I've laid out a few traps around Dublin Airport. You know, put a bit of food around a rope.
Yeah.
Do you know that trap?
Yeah. Yeah, the rope.
Step in it,
and then it goes. Yeah,
I don't really know how it works, but I did it anyway.
It springs.
And it springs up, and then dangling above.
They've got rabbits.
What?
They've got some rabbits out there at the airport.
Huh?
They've got some rabbits.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Look, we'll get some of those.
Very chewy though. I can't be in that with me.
Oh, your teeth. Yeah.
And I actually played the part of a dentist before in a TV show.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have like
Crimes of the Cavity? Yeah.
Do you have? did you learn the skills? You know, some actors go through months of training to be able to do the thing that they're supposed to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, I did a ride along with a dentist.
Okay.
Wow.
He gave me a lift to work one day.
So do you think maybe you could have a crack at Teresa's teeth?
I think I could. I think, from my time on that show, I learned how to, look into people's mouths.
Yeah.
And
that's the first part of it anyway.
Yeah, not get sick when I see their tongues and their, smell
their
breath.
Yeah.
I have to see something very special, Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe meet me at the vending machine. The one with the bottles of coddle in it. You can have a look. Little look touch. And let's see if you can do one for me.
I think I can.
Well, this is great. I got these calls in about the airport, people stuck in the lines. I thought it was going to be a nightmare situation. I thought everyone's going to be given out and be having a terrible time.
Dude, I'm thriving out here.
You're having a great time.
Thriving.
Teresa's going to get her teeth fixed.
When it gets cold in the winter now, we'll get some.
And I know, Teresa, you were saying you wouldn't have kids. You were saving up the money.
Yeah.
Now that you're going to have the teeth sorted, have you given any thought to that kind of side of your life? Maybe meeting someone?
Well, now you're making me shy. Darren asked me for my number and I gave it to him.
Okay. So, all right. So we could have we could have the first phoning it in wedding on our hands.
Oh, no, that would be very exciting.
Claire, I'm also a qualified officiator. I got my degree on the internet.
Yeah, she's the best.
So she could officiate your wedding. All right, listen, you guys are going to have to call back in 6 months and tell us how you're getting on, all right?
6 months?
That's too soon?
You act fast, huh?
No, I mean, you
I'm
might
a man of the wild now, don't you understand?
Yeah, you might not be getting married in 6 months. We'll just see how you're getting on with it.
Really,
you know, yeah. But you never know.
Very
well. Right, well, play them.
Guys, thank you all so much for phoning it in. Thank you. My next caller, Usheen, says...
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Usheen, how's it going?
Tell him why I'm calling, man.
You say that you're obsessed with prepping for the apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm one of those preppers, as they call them. Sounds like pepper, but it's not.
How long have you been into this?
Do you know what? I only got into it maybe the last 8 months.
Okay.
Just the last 8 months, just seeing the last 2 years. I'm like, oh, that's definitely happening again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know? So the apocalypse you're worried about, would it be another kind of COVID situation, another outbreak?
Just, do you know what? Just the vibes and people have kind of changed. People kind of wreck the heads these days. You know what I mean? I feel like you just need to protect yourself from that.
From
really.
Wreck the heads.
Just absolute wreck the heads, man. Yeah, you know, bury yourself into the basement, you know, eat baked beans. There's too many wreck the heads out there, Dave.
Too many wreck the heads. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, doing this job week after week, you come up against a lot of them, to be honest.
You really do. And I know, there was a lot of wreck the heads. I mean, I kind of found after I did my last Zoom quiz.
Yeah.
I was like, I need out of this big time, man.
Done.
It's not the virus, it's you, leeches.
Yes.
They're getting me down big time.
Humans are the virus.
Dave. Yes. You want to come into my bunker, bro?
Absolutely. It sounds great. What have you got there? What have you been stocking up on?
Precious metals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like what?
Just like the
gold.
Oh, that'd be great, Dave. That'd be great. No, it'd be more kind of, you know, bronzes, brasses, you know, going around the estate, seeing if they're throwing away any old fireplaces, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with all that metal?
I'm going to make an idol, Dave.
An idol?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is after the world has fallen.
Yeah.
You want to build an idol to, like, for people to worship, or?
Look, I'm a queer individual, Dave. And I went to college with a lad called Donal. And he was probably the greatest man I've ever met in my life. He was just always up for the party. Do you know what I mean? He would, like, put a lampshade on his head. Not in a bad way, Dave. Just in a kind of fun way.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, I'm having a party now. He'd take a curtain off of a wall, just wear it as a cape.
Yeah.
You know? Find a stick, pretend it was like a big shaft. You know?
Yeah.
And just, like, he was a party animal, Dave. And we've kind of fallen out in recent years, you know, but I think of him often. And if I was to think of the perfect, you know, lad who's not wrecked the head, it'd be Donal.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like we could live in his honor.
You want to build an idol of Donal?
Of Donal. Right. In my bunker.
Yeah, cool.
A bit of brass.
Yeah, and other precious
metals.
Semi-precious metals.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, funnily enough, Donal has been
listening.
You're joking me. He's on the line. Donal, what do you think about this? Is it flattering, I guess?
Hey, Usheen.
Hey, Donal.
I'm just feeling a flurry of emotions.
Yeah, of course.
Dave.
Well, you guys probably haven't spoken in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. You left me kind of an ominous message on my doorstep.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, my girlfriend's not talking to me, says it's because of something she found out about me from you.
It was a miniature kind of diorama out of brass.
Okay.
Of me and Donal, the first night we copulated.
Oh, right. And Donal, did your partner didn't know about this?
No. Okay. No, Dave. We had a traditional monogamous relationship and she wasn't super happy that I'd done that, and I tried to excuse it as just kind of a goof, you know?
As
Usheen said, I'm a very funny individual, or used to be.
You like to play around with your shaft.
Yeah.
That was what he said, wasn't
it? Yeah, he does.
I used to pretend that things were a shaft. Specifically, I'm interested in taking things around flat. And yeah. You should see me at an IKEA.
So funny. I'd love to see you at an IKEA.
Yeah.
Fruit and veg and everything. Everything's.
Yeah, we had one special night together. I guess it was, I don't know.
It was special. You said you can't take that back. It was special.
All right. Well, you know what? You know how something starts as a joke?
Yes.
You're like, well, what if we did this?
Yeah.
What if I kissed you here?
You started off a game of nervous and we just kept going.
Yeah.
And what if I caressed you there?
And what if you put your leg up here?
Okay, I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Are you doing it now? Okay.
Yeah, okay. What else do you want me to do?
Well, you know, open your little mouth. I want it to be the right size for me, Yoshi. All right.
What are you pretending is your shaft now?
My penis?
Okay.
Okay, guys, this is getting a little bit hot and heavy for this show.
Sorry.
Look, I was just, you know, she left me and I didn't have my best friend. And I moved to the United States, tried to make it as a delivery car app designer.
Okay. Wasn't sure where that was going, yeah.
Real hustler, Donald.
Yeah, well, you can see by the way that I'm saying it, I was really bad at rooms, pitching it. I just got real nervous trying to sell myself. I was just trying to start a new... met a guy that kind of took me for all I was worth. Destroyed all my beliefs in myself. Convinced me that the world was ending. Coincidentally.
Oh, right.
It is.
Funny you should say that because we actually have a special caller on the line. President Michael D. Higgins has decided to call in because he's got news about an impending apocalypse.
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much for having me on for this very diplomatic exchange of views. And it's very interesting listening to your conversation there. Yes, as you say, it's fallen upon me to announce the forthcoming apocalypse. And as you know, every president in the Oris, I am Wukturan the Heron, as you know, Dave, is allocated his own bomb shelter underneath the Oris.
But
foolishly, 10 years ago, I got quite into Quasar, and I had the whole thing repurposed as a fully kitted out Leisureplex zone.
So, is it still bomb secure, though?
It has some of the qualities, but as I said, I wanted it really like Leisureplex in specifically in Blanchard's town, so I took out a lot of the attributes of an actual bomb shelter.
Yeah, the protection.
In order for the authenticity of Blanchard's town Leisureplex. But to get to the point, Dave, what I really wanted to ask is, would your car there actually have room for another Uchtaron in his shelter?
Room for a small one?
And I have Sabina and the two dogs, Molly and Rossa.
Oh, as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... The dogs are quite big, actually.
I have a few staff.
You might have to pick one of the dogs, but okay.
Yeah. I have a PS1 as well.
Don't lie. I'm sorry to say this, bro, but this guy kid out a whole bomb shelter as a Leisureplex. I think I might have a new idol.
Oh, really? So
I think so.
You could build a statue and he'd be there to model for you if you were to build a statue.
Well, I might just have to break off Donald's shaft and melt it down again to make a new idol.
Oh, you've already built
Mr.
the
Higgins,
Donald.
Do you not see that he is a sociopath? He was just professing his love to me and then he just immediately is going to make a new idol.
It's hard to... A sociopath is such a loose term. It reminds me of the great Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails once said, I want to fuck you like an animal. I want to feel you from the inside. I couldn't tell you why it reminded me of that day, but it just came to me.
It does feel like it has a relevance here, though.
Yeah,
somehow.
A kind of a thematic relevance. But all that is to say, you know, possibly we could melt down all the metal and make icons of all of us. Because at the end of the day, we should all be our own icons, Dave.
Yeah, true. Very true. Yeah, wise words. Listen, just before you go, what's the crack with the apocalypse? What's happening?
Oh, yeah.
I think our callers, they'll want to know.
So Wednesday, I'd say. Wednesday? About lunchtime, yeah.
What's going to happen?
If I can get in before then, it'd be great. Yeah.
That'd be great. Which dog are you going to kill?
Well, we've killed one of them, actually, but I was just hoping to bring the corpse there because I have one of those barbecues you get in Diddle. They're just a little tray, but you know.
Yeah, would you be great. Able to facilitate a barbecue in the basement?
I mean, hey, there's no ventilation, but let's do it.
You give it a go, yeah.
Can I also name the Wi-Fi password?
What did you want to name the Wi-Fi?
Shenanigans 0612.
Right.
It's just a bit of messing, Dave.
That's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
This guy truly is a party idol.
Yeah.
Just a messer, really.
Just to circle back to the apocalypse, though, what's going to happen on Wednesday?
So basically, the sky will fall in.
Okay.
That would be the main one.
So this is a kind of
all
a,
the buildings will collapse.
Sort of a biblical apocalypse?
You know the Heineken, the big Heineken sign?
Yes.
On the keys. That'll fall off and kill most of Dublin.
Right. Okay. Heineken are going to have a lot of hell to pay for if there's anyone left.
I think we all knew it should be Heineken at the edge.
Yeah.
Wreck the heads.
Yeah. So just to check then, is there room for Donal as well, or have you kind of shafted him, so to speak?
Oh, great. Great use of that word.
You know how small I am, Oisin.
I'd love to have you. I hope I haven't ruined things with your girlfriend. It was just a little joke.
It was years ago. Of course you ruined things with my girlfriend. Yeah, I moved on since then, though.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be plenty of space, if you'd have me.
I'm unbuttoning.
Yes.
Your trousers.
Michael D, do you want to get in involved with this?
I'm very excited at the artist here who listened to this.
I'm pointing to Michael.
Yes.
Michael D. Higgins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you? What do you mean you're pointing to him?
Oh, she knows what it means.
Okay. Well, listen, we might, you guys might take that off off the air and carry on. President Michael D. Higgins, thank you so much for joining us and filling us. Yeah, tough ultra out. And thank you guys for phoning it in.
Thanks, Dave.
Our next guest is a funeral director and the author of A Life Beyond the Grave. Will you welcome back to the show, Douglas Graves. Doug, how are you doing?
Hello, Dave.
It's been a while since we spoke.
Far too long.
How have you been?
Oh, well, business has been booming,
be my first question.
I had a feeling it would be.
So this whole COVID thing really worked out well for you?
Well, out of respect to many a family, I'll say,
Yeah.
But in a personal sense, tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Personal finance sense.
Yes.
Because I did see on Facebook that you were quite heavily speaking out against the vaccine.
Well, that is one attribute. I think we all had an interesting few years, didn't we, now?
We did,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, I think the science is still out. I think that there is a lot of research that needs to be done.
Yeah.
May I ask you a personal question, Dave?
Of course.
Are you vaccinated?
I'm fully vaccinated, yeah.
Boosted?
Boosted, yeah.
Now, where were you receiving that information from?
The HSE.
And who's he when he's at home?
That's the health service. We all get our...
The health service executive,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is indeed, yeah.
Now, when was the last time you trusted an executive, Dave? Was it when your bank foreclosed on your home?
No, I don't trust my bank at all.
Isn't that an interesting parallel?
Yeah. So you're saying you didn't discourage people from getting vaccinated to boost business?
What I'm saying is... And I can be as open and I am fully willing to be forthright on every aspect of the question that you've asked.
Yeah.
I did post things on the internet.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Dave?
More or less. So the last time we spoke, you had the book coming out. How's the book been going for you?
It's been... on sale.
Yeah, it has been on sale.
Yes, it has, Dave. Yeah, I'll be honest, Dave, my last time I was on the show didn't work out very well for book sales.
Oh, didn't increase your book sales?
Not really. Okay. People had quite a few questions afterwards.
There were some guests who maybe...
Felt
you were blindsided a little bit?
I did a little bit, Dave, yes.
Well,
I
just assure you that's not going to happen?
I know, that's why I've come on here in entirely good faith.
Yeah, now your book, I know, is full of hilarious anecdotes.
Absolutely, from life beyond the grave. Yes.
We will get to some of those. But first, I want to bring on Raquel. Raquel claims you botched her great Uncle Jack's funeral. What happened, Raquel?
Raquel, one moment. Dave, nay, but a jiffy ago,
yes,
did you just say I will not be blindsided
of
in
course.
This interview? I've come back in good faith 3 years later.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're about to maybe tread some worn ground.
No, not at all. No, no. It's just we obviously announced that you were going to be on the show on our social media.
On what social media?
Instagram, Twitter, not Facebook.
Oh, I would have got some loyal fans there, Dave.
Yes, unfortunately.
I really made some good funerals there, I can tell you. Yeah. No botched ones there.
But I do want to bring on Raquel because she's
Lexi,
called in. Raquel, what happened at your great uncle Max's or Jack's funeral?
Well, he completely botched it. That's the word you said.
Yeah,
like botched.
Yeah.
So we were at the funeral.
Dave, is there something wrong with the microphone? I cannot. Is there something wrong with the line there? I cannot understand a word that Raquel is saying.
It's Raquel. You've got to get it behind your throat, you know, it's not playing.
Raquel.
That's exactly it, Dave, yeah.
Not a word, Dave.
Well, listen, I can understand her. You don't need to...
Okay, well, let's go forward as I don't understand her. Continue, Raquel.
So we were at Maximilian's funeral and we were gathered around the grave and we were having a really nice time. We were all holding hands and we were crying and we were in the moment.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we were happy in our grief, so we were.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, music started to play. But it wasn't music we had decided upon for the funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was the music of Douglas. He had brought his record player.
Right.
And he was basically gate-crashing our funeral, trying to pitch his book to us.
Pitch his book?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the music? Was it his own music?
It was his own music. He'll sing it for you if you want.
So sorry, you probably haven't been able to understand it.
Not a word, Dave. Not a word.
So
I assume she says it was a fine service, and
well,
that
she said it was going well.
Yeah. Thank
you. Until you showed
Next
up
caller.
With your record player and started to play your
Fisher
own
Price
music.
Ones. Do you remember them?
The Fisher Price
yeah,
ones,
with
yeah.
The little tape.
Plastic. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
I know.
Yeah.
I said it was a record player, but it was actually a tape player.
Yeah, yeah. You played your music and tried to sell your books to everyone.
You saw a song.
No.
I think he understood me there.
I saw a song.
No, he saw a song.
I do not.
With music.
Dave,
music came out when his mouth moves and song was made.
Dave, this is reflecting poorly on your audio capabilities if you continue to let this voice radiate through the waves.
Well, I can understand her perfectly. I don't know what you're talking about.
So,
do you want to answer the...
Is the question, did I service her uncle?
Did you service her? No, that's not the question. The question is, did you rock up to the funeral with a Fisher Price tape player playing some of your own songs?
Oh, thank God. That's the question. All right. Sorry. Yes. No, did I rock up to the funeral with a tape player and play some of my own songs?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. Is the answer.
Okay. Why did you do that?
Because some people do not. I'm a funeral director.
Yes.
Dave. Some people are mere funeral amateurs.
Mm.
And so when they come to me, they have a dead child or dog or whatever, they don't know what they want. And so they're in a period of grief. They
don't know what we want.
Fuck up, Jesus.
I tell you bury dogs as well as people?
I will bury anything if you pay me.
Okay, fair enough. They're in a period of grief. They don't know what they want.
They don't know what they want. They're delirious with grief. They're crying. They're you know, even less coherent than they might be even if they were cogent. I don't want to point any names. Maybe they're under the influence of something. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. Maybe they
don't.
What?
Okay. Just because we had a few drinks before the funeral doesn't mean we were inebriated.
Okay, well, now that's on record, Dave.
Well, I mean, that's not unusual in this country.
To drink before a funeral?
Yes. What a two. Take the edge off the day, you know, yourself.
Before you send off your loved one to their mortal remains?
Yeah.
That seems... is this a Catholic thing?
But are you Catholic?
No.
Okay, well...
But you're from Liverpool.
It doesn't matter, you know, there's a small community of people who are Norman.
Norman? Like,
like the...
It's a small
like,
branch of the Mormons, the Normans.
Oh,
the branch of the Mormons.
Okay, are they... What's the difference?
Don't be discriminating against us Normans, are they?
What's the difference between a Norman and a Mormon?
Well, the Normans, we don't marry... away from our marriage that we're, you know.
You don't get divorced?
Yes,
this
sure.
Sounds Catholic.
No, it's a Norman.
Do you mean you don't...
We don't do the multiple wives.
You don't do polygamy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
No, we don't do that.
Does this ever cause confusion with Normans from France?
No.
Good.
So, is it anything to do with that you're a slightly more normal Mormon?
Yeah, we're slightly more normal. Yeah, we're the Normans.
Dave, this is what I'm trying to deal with. In my place of work, we have people making up religions. They've got these newfangled
things. Well, hang on a second. Up a religion?
How dare you?
There's a small number of them in Liverpool.
First you wash me my Max's uncle's funeral.
Oh, sorry, I'm going to lose
Not even Dave got that one. Not even Dave got that one.
I have had a few drinks, I have to say.
Dave.
Listen, everyone has a few drinks before they come on this show, just to take the edge off.
Okay, what I'm saying, though, is that when people come to me at the worst stages of their grief, they do not know what they want.
Right.
My job as a director of funerals is to guide people through the grieving process.
Okay.
Of course, I know that sometimes they chose... What was the song you chose for your uncle again? The Venga Bus or something? What was it?
Yes,
the Venga Bus is coming.
Yeah.
But that's their prerogative.
Maximilian loves that song we used to always answer about the kitchen.
Well, look, you're saying you're a funeral director. This is what you're supposed to do. I want to bring on a rival funeral director, Edward Stone.
Edward Stone.
Ed, you say you're kind of shaking things up in the funeral game.
I'm shaking things up. Not only am I a director, but I also like to investigate how the person died.
Right.
So I like to deal with people, I suppose, who don't know how they died, or they haven't found the body yet.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Oh, they haven't found a body.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like,
so real mystery stuff.
Yes, yeah, so I suppose I have like two very long CVs, you know. It's
Dave.
Like I'm a funeral director, but I'm also an investigator.
Yeah, Dave.
Like,
yeah, private
around
detective.
With a magnifying glass, you know, I'm kind of mad like that. Anyway, only this morning there was a little boy called Cack, and he was a surfer dude. And he got eaten by a shark.
Right.
And the mother came up to me weeping out her eyes. And she said, Edward. And I said, yes. And she said, can you find me a little boy, Cack? He's been eaten by a shark. And I said, in Ireland. You wouldn't find many sharks in Ireland. But apparently you can. So I got on my best wetsuit and I swam. Breaststroke is also on my CV, may I know.
Very good at that.
Yes, and I grabbed Cack out of the shark.
Wow.
And there wasn't time to get a coffin, really. So I brought him up the aisle, you know, the usual way,
yes,
the, you know,
the pallbearers, yeah,
the coffin, maybe the uncle and the young lads who were strappy enough to grab the coffin by the two hands. But I said, no, I grabbed that child out of that shark, so I'm going to walk him up the aisle. Has your man Douglas
Dave,
done anything like that? I don't think so.
Dave, may I?
Sure.
Let me pose a hypothetical question to you, Dave. If you were to go looking for a DVD player.
Yeah.
Would you want one that stood alone and excelled only at playing DVDs? Or would you buy a television that had a built-in DVD player for dual functionality?
The second one.
See? Yeah, no,
you're getting two for the price of one.
Yup, Dave.
Okay, but it's more expensive as that one.
More expensive than if I bought a TV
and
a
DVD player
separately?
Yes. You may want... Let me explain this better. What's your dream TV, Dave?
My dream TV? I haven't really thought about it that much.
Okay.
A big flat screen.
Ah, a flat screen.
Yes.
How can you have a flat screen that also takes in a DVD?
Well, they have these ones.
No, I'm saying, let me finish horizontally.
Oh, well, it won't. You mean it just comes out the side and you just slot it in there?
I suppose that is also horizontal.
Yeah, it's not horizontal.
I know where he's going with this story.
Okay.
I'll add in another one.
Yeah.
Say if you were to buy a contraceptive pill, I don't know if you've ever been on one, Dave, but stops the period and it stops the baby from growing. So would you like a contraceptive, you know, that stops the period but you still get the baby? Or you what's the other one? And you stop the period or you don't get the baby and get your period. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a great point.
I'd rather a product that does both.
Yeah,
almost
yeah.
like a smoothie. You could have it in a cup, but you could have it in a bowl.
Now, I want to ask you, as a funeral director, what do you think of the situation here where Doug rocked up to Uncle Max's funeral with his own songs playing and trying to sell his books? Would you do something like that?
Never. No.
That's unusual.
You know, Douglas is trying to market himself and he's trying to sell the books, you know, that haven't been selling so well. So
they have been on sale.
They have been on sale.
Yes,
yeah.
No, we know that. But I suppose I would do it in a more kind of hush-hush way. Like,
okay.
I'd slip a business card and, you know, into people's their pockets.
That's classy.
Now, with the women, they wouldn't necessarily have pockets.
They might, yeah.
So I'd slip it in their hair, you know, under
a
pin.
Oh, yeah.
Like
putting
like
a flyer onto your car windshield
exactly.
wiper.
Yeah, actually,
Dave, this sounds as
that.
Crass as... Bump.
What you did?
No, it sounds even worse.
So you admit what you
actually,
did?
Actually, I'd be well up for that. Little card slips in between me crack or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because yeah, then later exactly. on you could go and check it out.
And maybe in terms of the music, you could do like a remix. You could meet in the middle, you know, Vengabus. What was your song?
I believe it's songs I wrote and performed.
Yeah.
Douglas's original work remixed with the Vengabus.
Have you considered remixes?
Dave, I'm not set up for some sort of DJ. I don't have the capabilities. What I have is a semi-professional recording studio where I record my own songs that are catered to each individual death.
Oh, right. So this was specifically written for this funeral.
Yes, and that seemed to have gone completely over their heads and completely unappreciated. Oh, Jesus Christ.
She's had a couple of drinks.
Yes.
Okay, just like,
we're meant to be grateful that you interrupted that very meaningful moment for us that we'll never get back, never get back ever.
Did you get that?
For as long as we live, we'll never get that moment back.
I got that she's upset.
Yeah. Can you share a bit of the song that you played?
I certainly can't, Dave.
You can't?
Cannot, Dave.
Why not?
Go on, do it.
Because as I just said, each song is written specifically for each individual death.
Right.
I would not broadcast it. I would not play it on the radio just for people. I mean, they're very good. I wouldn't think that maybe they wouldn't reach a chart if someone was to hear it. But
yeah.
I am not crass like that. I'm not crass in the sense of slipping a card into someone's crack.
Ed?
How about the little boy that died in the shark? Would you, you know, riff off that for a bit?
If the family were here, perhaps...
Oh, okay, I don't know if I can arrange that.
I also, why would I give you a free song? You did that funeral. Why would I give you a free song that obviously the family would?
Because I admire you, okay?
Dave?
There, I've said it. You're amazing.
Right, so you look up to Douglas.
I believe that renders everything she says from here on pointless.
He came into our school when I was in third year and he gave a talk.
One of her classmates had died.
Shark attack?
Poor Billy.
Was it a shark attack? How did he die?
Dolphin.
They can be very vicious, Dave.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah. They get excited.
That day when he came in, that's the day I decided to be a funeral director. So even though we're rivals, he's kind of my idol.
See, I told
Edward.
You I wasn't here to blindside you.
All right, okay,
yeah.
You've won me round, Edward.
Yeah.
That's a good idea for a TV show.
Fucking
rival
Jesus.
Idols, huh?
Rival.
A good
idols.
Idea for a...
TV show.
A TV show.
Rival Idols.
What's your dream TV?
What? I like the old-fashioned one where you turn the little dial on.
The ones where you turn the dial on.
You know, we have to get up. It's nice to get
no
up.
One where you've
control.
Lost the remote. A yeah. TV where you've lost the remote.
No. Back in the day, they didn't always have a remote. Sometimes, even before, they had no remote. And you'd have to get up, stand up,
yeah,
turn the
I
dial.
Remember this. It's true.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's obviously old school. Do you want to apologize to Raquel while you're here? Or?
I think we all know I do not.
Okay. All right. Listen, tell us about the book.
Ah, thank you. So, A Life Beyond the Grave is a series of fun anecdotes and stories from a life working with people who've died.
Yeah.
So it's mostly to do with children, but it is
dead children,
which I know what you're going to say. How can that be funny? Well, you wouldn't believe how some of these kids died.
Multiple shark and dolphin attacks?
Lots of chimneys, Dave.
Lots of chimneys.
Chimney sweeps.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's called A Life Beyond the Grave by the author Douglas Graves. Thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you to our guests for phoning in as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave.
As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Hi, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And we are the hosts of Agony Rants. We have been friends for a long time, and on Agony Rants, we do what we've always done.
Talk about people behind their backs and make suggestions on how they can improve their lives.
No, we cheer them up on Monday morning and help them with their problems.
By meddling in areas in which we are dangerously unqualified.
Why don't you join us each week for a new episode?
You'll find us wherever you do your listening with special bonus content for subscribers on headstuffpodcasts.com. Agony Rants, out now on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Do you like this podcast and want to support the show? If so, please tell some friends about it. Do a little tweet or an Insta story about us. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially through Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll get access to a heap of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which are released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. I'm going to move on to another caller now. Ruby is on the line. Ruby, you're trying to find a fella you kissed in Coppers. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Can you tell us about him? What happened?
Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, if I start talking about him, he's just going to, like, it's going to be too good to be true. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to describe him and it's going to be like, that doesn't exist, Ruby. You know, you're talking in the clouds, you know?
Had you had a few drinks on the night?
No, God, no. Okay. No.
Stone cold sober.
So, like, my memory of him is real.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm just afraid that, like, you know, once I start describing him, you know,
It'll sound crazy.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, if we're going to find them for you, Ruby, I think we need to get at least a bare bones description.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay. So you have brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Did
you catch the colour of those?
I think they were also brown.
Brown, yeah, okay,
He had the hair on his face.
Yeah. Beard. Beard,
yeah. That was brown.
Brown beard, yeah.
And he was about medium height.
Right.
And
you're not giving us a lot to go on.
I mean, he was dreamy.
Did you catch his name?
No.
Right.
No name. Yeah.
Okay.
He was also wearing a brown jacket.
Brain. So a lot of brain. Okay.
If that helps.
Only the jacket was his choice. Obviously, the rest is just what he was born with.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What?
You can change your hair.
You can, yeah. Do you think you
change your eyes too?
Do you think he had maybe
shave a beard off?
Yeah.
You're crazy, man.
That's true. Yeah, he could have done all those things. Do you think he did any of them?
Probably not.
Okay. So how is he too good to be true? Because so far he just sounds very normal, very boring.
I think it was the way he spoke.
Right. How did he speak?
He spoke like he didn't know vowels.
Okay. See, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that feels pretty unique.
Yeah, but that's not his appearance.
No. But I mean, if we're going to try and find this guy, we've got the whole of Ireland. Everyone listens to this show.
Yeah.
Massive audience.
Yeah.
They're thinking brown hair, brown eyes, brown beard, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't know vowels.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Anything else like that?
He had one foot.
One foot, yeah.
Yeah. And he wasn't wearing it at the beginning of the night, but he did have an eye patch later on.
But
he had the
two eyes. Yeah,
so I don't know whether
that
was just like a style thing. I think I was making him a little bit nervous, to be honest. And like, right, he kind of wanted to jazz it up a bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Cool. Okay, yeah. Well, listen, that's great. That's a really good start. Was there anything else special about the night? Like, how did you meet? How did you get talking?
Yeah, it was Australia Day.
Okay.
And so everybody was celebrating that.
Of course.
And there was also a stripping competition,
right,
going on, but neither of us engaged in it.
Okay, right.
Because we were just looking
locked,
at each other's eyes
locked
at the bar.
Yeah.
No, we weren't locked.
Locked into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and how did you get chatting? Or
he came up and told me that I should be stripping.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just thought that was such a compliment.
Nice compliment. Very suave.
Right. Yeah. Except he couldn't say suave.
Well, how would he have said it?
Yeah. And then I just knew.
Well, look, good news. He's been listening in.
Oh my God. No,
Rick
don't.
Is on the line.
Oh my God.
Rick, how are you doing, mate? Sorry, can you say that again?
Hello, okay.
Maybe just try and clear your throat there a little bit, Rick. So just... What? Sorry?
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Yeah. Good to talk to you. Hello.
So, you see what I mean, Dave? Yeah. Like, honestly, I'm getting a bit warm. Like, I was listening to him genuinely. Like,
he's got a lovely voice.
I feel a little hot under the collar.
Sorry? Maybe just slow down a tiny bit there, Rick. Did you catch that?
Yeah, Ruby. He said he's a fan of the show. Oh. He's really happy to be here.
I like the woman.
You like the woman? You like Ruby?
Yeah.
Did you catch that one?
I did, yeah. He's saying that, like, oh, wow, I didn't expect to hear from you again. I mean, me too. I'm so... He said he is a little worried about privacy with work stuff,
I'm so glad you're here to translate, because I'm struggling a little bit. Sorry.
Well, I used to study whales a lot, actually,
right.
And I used to think I had quite a gift with them.
Yeah.
So, I think it's kind of similar.
It is whale songy.
Fuck off.
Okay.
Fuck.
He's saying thank you.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Okay. Rick, obviously you phoned in. Can we take it to mean from that you do want to meet up with Ruby again?
Baby, I regret skin.
Didn't catch any of that, so.
Davey, he said he's married.
Oh.
And actually, he's just off a skiing trip with his wife.
Oh God.
Nothing. Come
on. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't get that.
No, did you get that? No. I'm sorry.
She needed to come home. She broke her leg. That's actually how he wouldn't have heard. He wouldn't have heard the show. He's really good at impressions too.
That's the sound of the
break.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but were you married when we shared that night together? No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. So this must have been a recent wedding.
Four teen moves.
14.
14 hours ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you, after she met her in your skiing, she broke her leg. And you came to her rescue. Yeah. I'm starting to pick it up now.
Yeah. That's
okay.
What happens. It really, honestly, it grows on you.
Yeah, and then
really
it's
does.
Just like you've never heard, it's just like you've heard people talk like this.
Yeah,
all
okay, back off, Dave.
All right. I want to bring on a special guest. Daniel O'Donnell is with us. Daniel, you have some advice for the young lovers.
He's
is that
actually
right?
A massive fan of Daniel O'Donnell.
You got Nick.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
How
are you today?
Yeah, good.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be on the show today.
It's
to
great.
Give my
great
advice
to
the young couple on their union.
I mean, I wish. I
see it happening. You know, I have quite a line in holy water. And I drank about 2 pints of it today.
Right.
Because I felt that I'd need some good luck to spread your way. So I've mainlined the holy water, and I have to say, I know that it's going to be a long and happy marriage for you two now. I know.
Now, okay, the issue though, Daniel,
yeah,
I don't know if you were listening. Rick has married someone else.
I don't
else.
See any issue. I mean...
Do you think Rick is going to divorce his new wife? his current wife?
My Magella was married before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And, you know, aren't we very happy, Dave?
Yeah. How did you guys meet, actually? Was it in, like, Coppers or something?
Magella
like
doesn't like me to talk about it.
Right.
Because it was a time of her life that she was going through a lot, Dave.
Okay, yeah.
She was a prostitute in Ballymoney.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
nice.
I was going through a lot as well, hence the prostitutes.
Yes,
because
yeah,
normally
yeah.
I'm a clean living guy.
That's what we all know.
I'm a clean living guy. Yeah. I like a cup of tea and a Reader's Digest of an evening.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that simply wasn't cutting it at that point.
Right.
I said, I've just got to pump the night away, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
You do know. We've you're a red-blooded male,
yeah,
Dave, of course,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Ballymoney is where I have a mobile home. And
okay.
I've spent many summers, normally not on the prostitutes, but anyway.
Yes.
Never mind. Magella was there with her two children, and lovely children they are. But she needed to make a bit of money because, let me tell you, Pirate's Cove is not cheap.
Right.
With the vending machines and the coins and the slot machines.
Well, yet the kids, they'll run through the money.
The kids,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
As I know, as a stepfather. So.
So it was kind of an impromptu thing.
It was impromptu. I was cruising the streets. I was driving a Honda at the time.
Right.
I was driving around, and I saw a very attractive, short-haired woman
yeah.
of middle age.
Yeah.
And she was wearing a beautiful beaded cardigan, and I just something about her. For some reason, she was winking at me, and I stopped and I said, would you like to get in? She said, not particularly. I'm on the clock. I want to make some money. So I said, get in. I liked her chutzpah, as they say
yeah,
in Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
So she got in. She got in and she wasn't in the car before she had her panties and her bra off. Because that's a move I have. I can take them both off within 5 seconds. People think I'm like a big teddy bear. I hope teddy bears don't be doing that or they wouldn't be allowed in children's rooms.
Well, this has been a fascinating story.
Sorry,
about...
can I ask, what is your advice for us?
Oh, my advice,
We were building up to that,
well,
really.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
is all
I
relevant.
I don't think we were getting there, Dave.
This is all
honest.
Relevant stuff.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, you're getting stuff that I did not put in my autobiography, so... consider yourself very lucky.
I do, Daniel. It's great to have you.
I don't.
Well, listen, he's going to give you the advice now. Just calm down.
So my advice would be, I take it you haven't consummated your union.
Your current union.
Your current union.
A little bit. Ambulance.
A little bit of...
Well, he said that
and the ambulance.
A little bit
the ambulance.
Of the ambulance. Yeah.
He said, first of all, they tried to do it on the slope when she broke her leg, but it got too cold. I don't need to hear this.
It's very hurtful what you're doing to this woman because she doesn't want to hear about your wife. So park that for now. What
you
I say...
me.
In fairness, Andy, you did ask him.
Well, I know, but I didn't realise how much it would affect the poor girl, poor wee girl.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is, obviously, this man's going to need a lot of help consummating because it sounds to me he doesn't have all the faculties about him. But what I will say is I know a group of ladies who do bed baths all over the country that do Meals on Wheels, and they would be prepared to step in and help.
Wait, I don't want him to fuck his wife.
For you.
For you to fuck my wife.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're dead right.
But what do I do about the wife situation?
Oh, listen, you go... Do you have rosary beads?
No.
Right, okay.
You can pick up some rosary beads.
Yeah. I'll send you some holy water.
Yeah.
And I think what you need to do, girl, is to sit tight... and hope and pray.
Have a pray,
and
yeah.
And put on your bit of lipstick and get out there, girl.
What do you think about that,
I mean, I found this all incredible. incredibly unhelpful.
Honestly, this is not my area of expertise.
Don't talk yourself down. You came on here in good faith, giving up your time. You're a busy man.
Sorry, why do I look like the unreasonable one here? How have I come out of this?
Daniel is giving you advice.
I had a wobble of confidence, that's why.
I don't know, Rick. Seeing how Ruby's acting, how she's responded to Daniel. I don't know. Do you want to see her again?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Bad boy.
Okay, well, all right, all right.
Must be a naked.
Sorry?
Me? Sir? How? New cord.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to pee in me naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Word for ejaculation.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I haven't heard that before. Okay, well, look, it sounds like Daniel's advice has really helped and paid off. Because...
I have a few records that you might like to listen to.
Okay.
To get young lady to listen to about finding love and keeping the faith.
Right.
So have a listen. Daniel in Blue Jeans Volume 2.
Right. And that'll specifically speak
to this.
You can
buy it in Heaton's. You can buy it you can buy it in Athlone in the Sports Direct. And you can also buy it in the boot of many cars at the Cavan car boot sale.
Okay. Well, there you go. Would you be swinging by any of those anytime soon?
Make it a point not to.
Okay, well, you're going to lose out then because Daniel's offering you some good advice here. Look, you and Rick, it seems like you might be able to make a go of it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I hope he just leaves his wife. That's what
is
I have.
Is that on the cards?
Maybe that makes me the bad guy. I don't know.
I mean, he only met her 14 hours ago.
Yeah, well.
Rick, do you think you might leave your wife? Okay, great. Well, that's.
I think that was pretty definitive.
Pretty
Dave,
definitive, right? Daniel. Thank you so much for coming on and solving
problem.
This like love. This love
I'm
issue
happy
these
to help.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to help, Dave. As you know,
we'll have to have a special show. Get all these struggling lovers on. You know,
problem
and you can just
page.
Give them all your nuggets of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys for phoning in. I wish you the very best. Maybe we have another phoning it in wedding on our hands in a few months. Who knows?
I mean, I do.
Get on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for phoning it in. My special guest joining me in studio today is a living legend of the punk rock era. Welcome to the show, Terry Terrible.
Oh, hello, David.
Terry, it's great to have you. What have you been up to lately, Terry?
Oh, you know, causing chaos, just being a general thorn in the side of the establishment.
Right. And you do have an album on Spotify as well, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've sucked the digital penis of the Spotify brothers.
Can you tell us a little bit about your album that's coming out?
Well, I mean, it's chaotic, it's anarchic, it's just, I mean, if I was the Queen looking at the newspapers at the latest charts, I'd be like, what?
Why would she say that?
She's just shocked by my general...
Oh, okay. Is the Queen referenced in the title?
No.
Oh, that's,
it's
that's...
mostly Irish-based. I'm from Ireland.
Okay. I didn't know you were from Ireland.
Yes, Ballsbridge. Next question, please.
Okay, all right. What's the album called?
It's called Scum. And Filth.
Right.
And general bits of dirt and gravel.
This is all, it's still the title?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Parentheses.
Yeah.
Pain.
Yeah.
Okay,
lovely. Is this with your band?
It's created all in GarageBand, a garage band. If you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy waving the flag for America, let's have another war, shall we? Great idea.
Sorry, I missed that. Is it with your band?
No, GarageBand.
You made it in GarageBand.
The app I did on my Mac Pro.
Because you did used to have a band that you played with.
I did.
Yeah, the Bomb Squad.
The Bomb Squad, yes, Belfast during the Troubles, those troubling trouble times.
Well, I've got one of your old pals, you and your old bandmates on the line. It's your old bass player, Dick Vittles, is with us.
Dick here.
All right, Dick.
Hello, from Belfast originally. And, yeah, you know, it was tough when the bomb squad quit. Kind of fell apart. My life got fell apart after that, and I work as an accountant now.
Right, so you've left the punk rock behind.
Well, I wouldn't say I left it, more like I was kicked out.
Right. Well, I mean, you were kicked out of the band before anyone else, famously. You were the first one kicked out.
Yeah, I was literally kicked out.
What do you mean literally kicked out?
Like, they all got their feet, and not a big kick, just started, like, really little kicks, just little kicks with all the feet and shoved me slowly out. I'm a small man.
Yeah.
And it was just little by little incremental out the door.
There was a girl who did nursery rhymes in the nearby school, and she had a big shoe from that rhyme.
Yeah.
Old lady living in a shoe, and we all got in the shoe. We kicked Dick out.
Right. And why did you kick Dick out of the band?
His hair.
His hair?
Yeah.
What was wrong with his hair?
Well, it was just very boring, wasn't it? It was just very boring.
It was very boring, yes. But I thought that was kind of like, you know, the way you call a big person small or a small person, you know, big. I thought that, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, as a gangster, you call
yeah.
them.
You know, sometimes you get like a big wrestler, his name is Tiny,
exactly.
But he's a massive fellow.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose
so
if you're...
I thought if I had boring hair,
yeah,
then they call me Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And because it was music, most people wouldn't see me. And they think I had a really cool head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you obviously do live shows. People, that would have been...
Yeah, but I'm moving my head so fast, I'm like moshing and shaking that I never let people actually see my head.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. It's just always a blur.
Well, I
always.
Punk, haircuts...
It's not just on stage.
Haircuts in punk rock got so crazy that in some ways, by going the other way, that's the more punk rock thing to do, isn't it?
Well, I suppose that could have also been the purpose of my boring haircut. And yes, it was. That was why I did it.
Okay. Terry, when was the last time? How long has it been since you guys saw?
Oh, God. It was probably the launch of Hot Press 25 years. There was a party in Crawdaddy, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sculling pints of Tennent's.
All right. So
spitting on each other.
The best night of my life until it turned into the worst night of my life.
Well, how did it turn into the worst night?
Well, it brought out the big shoe. The big shoe.
Oh, sorry, that was when they kicked out. Sorry.
Germany, they've got the night of the long knives.
Yeah.
In Crawdaddy, it was the night of
the
big
shoe.
Either or. Okay.
Let's not quibble on types of footwear.
Let's stay on the line, Dick. I want to bring on another caller we have on the line, Jeremy. You won't believe this, Terry. Jeremy has just discovered that he's your son.
Hello, Daddy.
Sorry, what is this gotcha journalism Media Mogul Dave Coffey?
No, I called in about something entirely different. I've just found out I'm your son.
Oh, while you were waiting to talk about
something
else.
Yes, I was just waiting here. And I
what
was
age are you, Sonny Jim?
What age am I? I'm 9.
Well,
I'm
speak
9.
Very well.
Thank you.
For a 9-year-old.
Jeremy, how did you find out that he was your father?
Oh, this piece of paper that was handed to me here.
By who?
Well, the person that handed to me.
Which
the doctor.
Oh, a doctor.
Yes.
You've just done like some kind of DNA test?
Just a written note.
Just a written note from this doctor. I'm in a hospital at the moment.
In his awful handwriting.
Yeah, I couldn't really read it, but the end of it said, he's your dad.
Wow.
He's your dad. Yes.
Sorry, Dave. Is it like a DNA test? Is this Jerry Bloody Springer?
I gave him my spit.
You gave him your spit?
Yes.
Had you done one of those DNA tests? You know, the ones to check out
if you've ever been to our gigs, you would emerge covered in spit.
Right. Yeah, I see what's happened here. Your mother has obviously taken some of Terry's spit from one of the gigs, sent
it
off to ancestry.com and found out that you're related.
Maybe it's my spit.
There was a lot of spit flying around.
Yeah, there was a lot of spit. But specifically, it wasn't Dick's spit. Specifically.
Okay, right. How did she know?
She said it wasn't boring spit.
Okay.
Dick was a crap spitter.
No, it's definitely the cool guy,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Terry.
Are you calling him a cool guy because he's boring?
No, I mean it literally. It's not ironic.
Okay.
No,
right.
Sorry. So can I move in?
Yes.
No, Dick, again, not you. Not you, Dick.
I'm not really ready for this type of commitment.
Do you have any other kids, sorry?
Well, I've got three lovely children.
Yeah.
Who I love because I wanted them.
Right.
not really in the mood for a 9-year-old with perfect diction to move in. He's got a deep voice.
But he could be some kind of genius child for all you know.
Oh, I'm not.
No?
No, I just speak very well.
You speak very well.
Thank you.
I mean, he just sounds like a tough. He sounds like a rich.
No, I'm as punk as they come.
Oh, you're a punk?
Oh, totally punk.
Right, and obviously you didn't know Terry was your dad.
Not at all. It just makes sense now. Oh, yeah, okay. So mum heads out every weekend to, like, concerts, comes home covered in spit. She squeegees the spit into a test tube. She sends the test tubes to doctors. She's been searching for my father for years.
Oh, right. All she knew that it was somebody from
just
the punk band.
Just knew it was someone that...
From the general punk scene. Yeah. Could have been Susie and the Banshees.
She slept with a lot of punks.
Exactly, yeah, yes. Yeah, and the last 5 or 6 years, she's been on a real hunt. And
well, let's get your mum on the phone there.
Mum.
Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, Mumsy.
Well, you know, too sorry now that it's all come out like this. a little bit public, probably better place for it all to come back. But lovely to talk to you.
What's your name?
My name's Mary.
Mary. And do you remember much about meeting Terry? Obviously, you didn't know who he was.
Well, I knew a lot of Terry's.
Right.
It was a popular name.
It was a popular
in
name.
In the mid-90s when punk was really exploding with the likes of Green Day and Blink 182.
But as soon as I'm hearing that voice, I am remembering this Terry, yes. Oh, yes.
Right, so do you remember Mary, Terry?
There was a lot of Marys, really, Dave. It's hard to pin this one down.
It's really always been a popular name.
Yeah. I guess because of Our Lady.
Probably the Mother of Christ.
No, I was named after anyway, but not a virgin.
Unfortunately,
and this all happened in Belfast, is that right? Or?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes, in Belfast 9 years ago. I should have actually just checked my diary because I do keep exquisite records of those who I share a bunk with.
Okay, and what do you have the records there with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I have them locked in a safe away from the house.
Are you afraid that someone might?
Well, I wouldn't want my son to see those. Might be upsetting.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That's fair.
Is there anything you want to say to Terry? Make any kind of request of him or?
Well, I would like you to take our son. You know.
just well, straight up take him. Just,
I mean, take me away.
Well, I think, you know, that's how I would see it. 18 years of minding. I've done 9 and now you do 9.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. How do you feel about that, Terry?
Seems fair.
You've got 3 other kids. One more is not going to make much difference.
I mean, I'm not sure if they'd fit in with my image. This sort of...
I won't come and live with your family.
Oh, that's,
no,
that's a
I
relief,
just visit
Mary.
Weekly.
I don't know. I mean, this guy, what's your name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, yeah.
Jeremy, yeah. I mean, if you could change your name at least to something cool like...
Jezza,
Bad News, or sort of like Jay Atomic.
Yeah.
Just rude.
Jay Atomic Rude?
Jay Atomic Rude, yes. I
Does that work that. For you?
I could pull off that, I think, yes.
Okay, great.
Easily.
Deep Hole.
Deep Hole?
Yes, that's how
change
you
it. Change
yeah,
it. Yeah,
name.
Deep
Hole,
yeah. Mary, what are you going to do now that you're free and single again?
I'll just continue looking for the fathers of the others, I suppose.
Oh, right. There's a lot, is there?
Oh, yes.
There's
loads
plenty.
Of us, Dave.
Okay, I can there's see why you want to.
And a few of them are approaching 9, so it's time to, you know.
A few of them are approaching 9. Did you have like triplets or something?
That can happen.
Yeah, of course.
That can happen. Yeah. You can get pregnant while you're pregnant.
Yeah, I don't know about
you
that.
Can.
No, I don't
know. You can. I'm flipping proof.
Would you like to hear one of my songs for my new album?
I'd love to. We've got just about to wrap up, so I'd love to hear one of your songs.
All right,
too.
This one's about the housing minister, Dara O'Brien. Ever heard of him, Dave?
I have, yeah.
Probably, you're probably on his payroll.
No fan here.
Okay, here we go. Dara O'Brien is the man in charge. There's a lack of housing and our debt is large. To build a load of houses, you need a few bob. Leave Dara alone, he's doing a tough job. Dara, oh Dara, you're doing your best. Don't listen to what the naysayers say. You've been working hard, you deserve a rest. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, sycophants.
Wait, you're the one that suck it up to Dara O'Brien?
What?
You know, that's sucking up
it
to that.
It started off as sarcastic and I kind of lost the run of myself.
Okay, guys, thank you, Terry, so much for coming in and thank you guys for phoning it in. Cheers.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Thank
you, Dave. Hope you sell more ads to Squarespace.
I wish we had a Squarespace sponsorship. thanks, guys. I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Stephen Bradley, Ali Fox, Aoife Spratt, Tony Cantwell, Aaron McGathy, Fionn Foley, Ro Carey, Kelly Shatter, Laura O'Leary, Hannah Mamelis, Mark Canton, Sophie Shanley, Kevin McGarren, Pearl O'Rourke, and Luke Benson. Thank you all. And I want to... thank you. I want to thank all the guests who've appeared on the last 100 episodes of the show. We have some exciting new guests lined up this summer, as well as many returning favourites. So please keep coming back and tuning in. I want to thank all of our listeners and especially the people who support the show through Headstuff Plus. I don't know how we're going to do this, but guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Mark?
Check out Look What's After Happening.
Great.
Mobtheatre.ie and our shows every Thursday. Dublin. Dublin. MobTheatreDublin.ie, okay, is a website. We have shows every Thursday in Wigwam, and we have classes and stuff as well. So, yeah, go
Amazing.
There.
Amazing. Thank you, Steve.
And StokeImprov.com for improv classes as well.
Me and Mark are doing a couple of shows in one of the Pier Centre on Friday the 24th.
That's right, Autocrept and Friends. We are debuting our double act of life coaches.
Yes, two life coaches. And if that doesn't totally bomb, we'll also be doing it. We'll also be doing it in the International on July 20th. If it does totally bomb, we'll be doing something completely different.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks again, everyone. Thank you to Heads of Podcast Network for having us for 100 episodes and being an amazing support to me every week. And finally, thank you to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this 100th episode. Thanks for listening.
You've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.